Okay, so it's Wednesday, March 26, 6:01 p.m. And this is the board meeting of the Pines and Plains Library. So we have a quorum. Everybody's here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, do we have a motion to accept the agenda?
I would make a motion to accept the agenda as printed.
Second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, on to the consent agenda. Look over the meeting minutes.
We can do the budget to actual if you want to skip over the reconciliation for just a second.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do that.
So the so what we spent for January through February is $216,566.60. And the budget is $1,551,894. So we've spent 13.96% of the budget, and February is 16.7% of the year. So we're still a little bit under budget.
Excellent.
And then Ellen has the reconciliations there.
Okay. Our bank reconciliation for as of February 25th is, okay, the ending. We closed out the BMO money market account. We closed out the Colorado CBC money market account. We, in the Colorado banking checking account, we have $30,273.99. That's the ending balance right now. The new checking for Colorado Community Banks is $371,203.16. The payroll account at Community Banks is $201,268.97. Colorado Trust, that's those trusts that we agreed upon to put our money in that earns a better interest. We have a current balance of $740,112.66 in the Colorado Trust. C-Safe One, we have $602,288.30. C-Safe Two, we have $729,819.78. The gross total of all of the funds is $2,675,666.86. What I don't know is how much interest each one of those places, because this report doesn't give that amount.
So just roughly, on the Colo Trust, we earned $2,537.23.
Beautiful.
For February. And for C-Safe, for the 727,000 account, we earned $2,388.30.
Wow.
And the other C-Safe one, hold on, I have to look at this. Year to date is, but we opened it at the end of January. So year to date, $2,347.34. So those are the 7-day average on that account is like 4.5%. The monthly average is 4.52%. So it's earning some good interest.
So it sounds to me like we've earned almost $6,000, a little more than $6,000 on those three accounts alone. I mean, that's fabulous compared to what we were doing before.
So the Colo Trust interest average monthly yield 4.4735%. So, yes.
It's more than twice what we were getting before.
So do we have a motion to accept the consent agenda?
Move that we accept the consent agenda.
I would second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, committee reports. The BOCC meeting update. I went to the commissioners' meeting this morning, and I also went 2 weeks ago. So 2 weeks ago, it was they were talking about the Noxious Weed Act and giving people recognition for keeping their ranches clear of noxious weeds. They also did select a few zoning commissioners. I think they have more that they need to do. And they also talked about how the road and bridge people work with the fire department to help with the brush fires. So it was very fascinating. Now, today it was a presentation from the insurance companies that the insurance pools that work with all the counties that cover them for workman's compensation, motor vehicle accidents, liabilities, things like that. The most interesting thing I took from that was the biggest claims they have are motor vehicle and backing vehicles up. So I believe that the commissioners are going to, because the insurance company offers driver training. So I think they're going to avail themselves of the driver training. And they had asked, do the backup cameras help? And they said, not really, because they get covered with mud and dirt and stuff and they don't function correctly. So the couple of best things that they said to prevent accidents is pull through your parking lot, through your parking spot. The other one was if you have to back into your parking spot, that doesn't move, whereas everything moves when you back out. There are people that are trying to get past you, and I guess that's when things happen. And what was the other one? I forgot. But anyway, and I was like, oh, that's the same stuff that we used to take with the defensive driving. Like, so that's what we did at the commissioners meeting.
Thank you for the report.
You're so welcome.
Did you get the feeling that the insurance companies thought that the county people have more than average accidents?
No, actually, I got the impression that Elbert County is one of the lesser ones. The one other interesting thing is they talked about, because Commissioner Buck asked about the frequency of reporting, because he said he had a list of very small things, $115, you know, $200. And he's like, would it be worth our while to just pay out of the pool, the cash from the county, instead of reporting it? Is it making our rates go up? And the insurance people said, no, they didn't quite say it's not making your rates go up, but they're saying we don't look at the frequency of claims in this particular way they do the insurance. They look at the amounts that they pay, the big amounts that they pay out. And they said they like to actually get the frequency reports of the little things so they can see if there is a trend. It's like they're not cleaning their sidewalks. People are slipping and falling, you know, or, you know, whatever else could be.
Are they also risk management? Because I think our insurance company has a risk management piece, too. They can come out and do an analysis for us.
Yeah, they said, so there was a gentleman, there was a young lady that spoke about all the numbers. And then there was a gentleman that came out and he said that he was the person who came into the counties and said, you know, I think you need driver training or you need to learn to clean your sidewalks better or something like that. It's like, that was the thing. I thought it was interesting. So I got the impression the county commissioners are going to avail themselves of this gentleman.
How many different insurance, I mean, do they only look at one insurance company or do they put the deal out for bid, so to speak, once a year, or is it renew with the same agency year after year?
This is a pool that was created for all the county governments.
I see. Is it
counties?
Yeah.
Is it
CTSI?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the county organization. Where right. Our insurance comes from the special district pool. So we have a different set. And we've just signed up for a training program that if we get all of our employees to participate in the training program, we get a 10% discount on our insurance.
Okay.
On a portion of our insurance, not the full thing.
Right.
So we're working on getting everybody. It's good training. It's stuff that like sexual harassment training, which is always, you know, something you want to train on. And also the other training that we selected was computer safety. So like recognizing that this is not an email where you should open the attachment, but a lot of our system takes care of that anyway right now, the new system that we got. So
question, because we are trustees of the library district, does it consider us as part of the liability from the standpoint whenever we're doing a function in conjunction as a library trustee, are we, can our stupidness be
covered in the policies?
Yes.
You're covered in the policy.
Okay. So, I mean, for the most part, I mean, we all have our own vehicle insurance when we drive somewhere. I mean, that I would expect that to cover any problems that I might, hopefully, I don't do anything stupid, but there's always the chance somebody else will do something stupid to me. So,
yeah.
But we, most of us drive so little anymore. I get nervous when I drive to town, to Denver.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I see the congestion there.
I think you're covered under a couple different things. Because like if the library board gets sued, or if the library district gets sued for something particular, you are covered, through the liability insurance that we have. And I don't know what the other pieces are, but I know that part for sure.
I mean, nowadays, there are X number of people that look for ways to sue. And for the most part, this board, we don't do anything of great controversy. So, well, I won't say importance. We do a lot of important stuff, but I mean, we make the library run. So, but we don't. None of us as a group, we're nobody's right or left. We're always pretty much in the middle. So, I mean, our biggest consideration is the library code from the standpoint, free access to the library and any function that the library does, for the most part, except for maybe renting a room, everything is to be as much possible free. I mean, that's, in a nutshell, what a public library is, in my opinion.
Would you like us to take the courses?
Those courses?
Would it be beneficial or not?
Yeah, I don't think that. Yeah. I don't think you guys need to take them. But the employees are definitely covered. Are definitely part of that. So,
when are these courses?
They're online, So they can take them whenever they want.
Well, I have made it my personal mission. Whenever there's a group functioning in this deal, I stick my head in the door and see what they're doing, just to I get enlightenment as to what these different groups are doing. And I had a major shock when I saw the knitting group. I mean, there was people there from older to 8-10 years old. I couldn't believe the range in age of people.
And sounds good.
I was impressed. Also, I showed my fingerless gloves. Two or three of the ladies had to look at those very close. And I said, if you guys are thinking about presents for your husbands or males, this is something I wish I would have had 50 years ago. Because the kind of work that I did, wearing gloves with fingers to do little nuts and bolts, was a problem. But since I've started wearing those fingerless gloves, my wife's, it's amazing how warm your hand stays, even though your fingers are uncovered.
Very good. So shall we move on to the Kiowa restroom contract?
Really? Are we on the hot seat here?
Yes, we are. I mean,
you guys make
our statements for us.
Okay. We have, in the past, RISE has offered us multiple different contracts.
30 pagers.
Okay, yep. We have, and then we met one-on-one. We met face-to-face with RISE, and we discussed things. And then new contracts came, and they were
2 hours each reading them.
It was still 30 pages.
Yes, still 30 pages with lots of different stuff in it. And then we questioned some of that stuff, and then they came with another version of the contract. And Morell and I kind of decided that, all right, it's time to bring in the lawyers. We're done.
Yes, we did that today.
Yes. We're done.
And so we understand that Susan has already sent the latest one to our attorneys to
read. I sent the last two.
Oh, two. Okay.
Because
of all the blueprint, blue.
The
one with all the blue typing.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where we're at.
But and then just to clarify on this contract, this was not a contract to actually build the bathroom. This was a contract to get RISE to help us with finding an architect and getting all our ducks in a row, finding out how much it, and then they would write another contract stating how much the bathroom itself would cost.
From reading it, my understanding was it was just the contract was for the guy that was going to put everything together. It was like
$2,000 or something plus
a portion. We were down to $1,500.
$1,500 now. I thought it was rather strange.
The first one was $2,500.
Yeah.
But they still have the one clause in there, which we discussed. I shouldn't even bring this up now, but we had discussed it at the meeting with Rise, that if we terminated the contract, that contract said we owed them $5,000. And one of the representatives said, oh, no, we wouldn't charge you that. But yet that was still in our contract.
Yes.
Good luck.
Yeah, so there were, that's when we, you know, we just said basically that. Said, this has just gone way beyond us, and we need professional input.
So that's where we're at.
Can I make a comment? I have a plumber that has done some work in my house, and I mentioned that we wanted to do a new bathroom. And in fact, he was doing some work in Kiowa several weeks ago. And I said, is this something you might be interested in doing? He's also got apparently a contractor's license or of sorts. I can't attest to how great he would be in that regard. But if he didn't charge us anything, just having him take a look for nothing might be a way to go, get an opinion.
We had four contractors come in and give us opinions and pricing. So
he's just a plumber.
Yeah. So I feel like we've done our due diligence on that. So.
The problem is, until somebody agrees to a plan, which I thought we had, now it seems to be that everything's in question again because they want an architect, which...
We need an architect.
Hmm. Okay, well, was anything discussed about what an architect might cost?
So we have four architects that we're going to contact, and they're going to come out and we'll interview them and have them look at the job, and then they'll give us cost estimates. Jumping ahead of myself, when I spoke with Jeff Woods at the University Technical Assistance Program, he's from CU Denver, the advisor at CU Denver School of Architecture. He said that nowadays an architect costs $200 to $300 an hour. So that's the going price.
So I guess we put the Kiowa restroom on the back burner until we hear from the attorneys.
Okay. So my director's report looks like this, your packet, and I'm not going to read it to you, but I'm going to go through it because there's a lot of goodies there. I think, Morrell, you went past it.
Did I go past it?
Yeah.
Should be right after the budget actuals.
Yeah, right after the budget. Oh.
See, no.
No, it should be in front of that.
Right? You went too far.
No, but I put some stuff behind as we were going through.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm as dumb as
a No, box. It's after this one right here. This one at the bottom.
Okay, get it for me.
There it is.
There it is. Got it. Okay. Thank you guys. I'm there glad you organized me.
Okay.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's like
it's right
after
budgets.
Page.
Yeah.
And that had them all in order, and I kind of screwed them up.
That's okay. I'll show you each piece as all we go through. So I'll say, this is what it looks like. Okay. So we were not in the newspaper in the past month.
Good.
So that was good. We added you guys, your email addresses, to the newsletter list. So you should be receiving the newsletter from us every month now. And we are also posting the newsletter out on Facebook just to get larger distribution of that. And that tells you like the big things that are coming up at the libraries. In this last issue, I wrote an article about community connections because we've talked about with Anders, he said, you know, people in the community want to be able to connect with each other. So I wrote a little article that said, these are all the things that we're doing to try and connect people within the community. So that's the newsletter. So hopefully you'll see that in your email inboxes.
One question. Will it come to my normal email or do I have to go into? Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah. It's sent to both emails.
Okay.
And then about the audit. So our auditor has provided us with the draft information from the audit. And I'm going through the drafts right now. And then I write a report, which is called the MDA, the Management Discussion and Analysis. And it's basically a little annual report that I write, which kind of says sort of what the auditor says, but a little bit in library speak, maybe. So, and then the next item is really exciting, the University Technical Assistance Program. So Sarah and I met with Jeff Woods, who I mentioned earlier. He's an architect at the CU Denver School of Architecture. And we were connected with him through the Colorado State Department of Local Affairs Division of Local Government. So there's a regional director from that group who connected us to the University Technical Assistance Program. And so a couple weeks ago, Jeff Woods came out and we gave him a tour of the facility. And then he wrote a scope of services. And I included the scope of services in your packet. It looks like this. And this is kind of fun. I thought it was fun reading, but I'm kind of geeky. So this might be kind of interesting. So he wrote this, and then we signed an MOU with two entities. We signed an MOU with the Department of Local Affairs, the Colorado State folks, and the CU Denver. So this just gives the estimates of what we'll be paying. So the total cost is estimated at $6,475. The DOLA pays 40% of that, and then we pay 60% of that. So the total that we're going to be paying for this service is $3,885, which is so inexpensive.
Reasonable.
It's very, very reasonable. And what they do for us is it's students, architecture students, and landscape architecture students. They are super excited about our big area here and the possibilities with that. And so they're going to do some community meetings. We have to figure out where to have them because this may not be big enough. But we want to invite people in to, you know, tell us what their vision of library service of the future in Elbert County. So, you know, it's like really, you know, reaching out to find out what people are looking for. And then ultimately, the students prepare several different things for us. They give us like the picture of what the outside of the building is going to look like. So all of this is going to be ready for us to use for fundraising. They can even do a video for us that we can show to say, hey, this is the direction that we're heading. So what they can't do for us is that they can't do like stuff that has an official architecture stamp on it because they're students and they're not full architects. And CU Denver also cannot stamp it because of the liability. So it's conceptual. So, but it gets us where we need to be able to move forward with fundraising. So that is really exciting. So they anticipate that they'll be done with this whole thing by April of 2026. They're going to come out they're on spring break this week. So they're going to come out in the next couple of weeks and the students are going to start taking a look around. And so very exciting.
That's cool.
Very exciting.
So are they able to determine, for instance, the strength of the mezzanine? You know, we're all concerned about how much weight that can bear.
So they are not engineers. They are architects. And so so what we're going to need after this is all done, after we get our, you know, we do our fundraising, we're going to need to have all that kind of work done. So we'll need will need a licensed architect to come in, and they potentially they could do a completely different building for us if we want, or you know they can start from what the students did, but then we'll also need an engineer to.
Is there any way of getting an engineer in here ahead of time so we know what we're dealing with, so that we have that ahead? That 18 to 12 months seems like a lot to me, a long time.
So what we're doing is conceptual right now. So we're starting on the conceptual part, and so kind of the vision piece of it. And we're not going to get into the nuts and bolts quite yet. So it's, I mean, what we could do in this whole thing, and we're going to talk with Anders in the next couple weeks or so to see how involved our consultant wants to be in this whole process, because we need what's called a program. And Anders is really strong on thinking that it needs to be a librarian who does the program for us. So, and then still that's still kind of visioning and still kind of like, you know, where we want to go design wise. And we're not ready for the nuts and bolts piece for that. Yeah.
What does Anders charge?
That is something that we'll find out. We've already paid Anders for the community needs assessment that we did over the last 2 years. We did it over 2023 and 2024. So that big, huge report that he did for us, we did that.
I was just wondering what the cost would be. I mean,
yeah,
it is taxpayer money, so we want to spend our money wisely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm always concerned about the money aspect.
Absolutely. I understand.
So I think we should get an idea of what his consultant fee would be for whatever he's doing before we agree to that.
So it's a conversation that we'll have with him. We'll start and kind of figure out if this is, he's kind of easing into retirement. So whether he's going to actually be interested in this project or not, I don't know. So it's kind of a negotiation and a conversation, but we know that we're comfortable with his work, you know, what he did for us with the community needs assessment. And so, I also don't know. This is a new model that he's never worked with before, where we're using students as part of the project. And I don't know, you know, how that will work with him. So we will get a quote for that for sure.
I read the information that you sent, and it said we need community involvement. How do you propose to do that?
So that is what I mentioned earlier, where we have community groups. So we put a call out on all the different ways that we can. We're going to have to choose probably a larger location. Maybe we can actually do it out in the library, because we have done that before, where we take all the computers down and then we have a bigger meeting space. But we'll put out the word to all the community. We definitely want strong library users there. So we definitely want like people from the Friends and, you know, our folks that are really heavy duty library users. We want them to be a part of that. I don't know if you saw how many years, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. This is the same process that the town of Elizabeth went through for their senior center. And so I only know about the town meeting that they had in January of 2023, because I had just gotten here, and I didn't know exactly what they were doing, but that was when they presented like four designs for the senior center, and two or three of those were on library property. So we kind of freaked out a little bit about that.
Is there a senior center in Elizabeth?
No, not at this point.
Yeah. Didn't go well. Good.
So
they seem to have a roadblock with funding.
Well, what happened was, I think I mentioned this the meeting before last. The town of Elizabeth board voted to not move forward with the senior center. They had a grant, so they did the next step of what we are wanting to do. They received the grant funding. They completed the grant. They received the funding, the board said, no, we're not going to take that funding after all. We don't want to go ahead with the senior center. And so they had to give the money back. So our plan at this point is to, in this third paragraph under University Technical Assistance Program, Jeff Woods, again, the architect from CU Denver, said that we would want to go for the DOLA EIAF grant in the spring of 2026. And the window is from March to April 1st of 2026. And it's a 50% matching grant. So, and we can apply for amounts up to $1 million. So if we have $1 million, which we do in savings, they will match. If we get that much, they'll match $1 million. And then we'll have $2 million. So the money for this grant is from state severance taxes on oil and gas. And so that money should still be available next year, unlike federal funds, which are pretty much in question at the moment. They're some of the ones I told you about time before last, the USDA loans and some other things. Those are, you know, definitely in question at the moment as to whether those will be available. But this year, they didn't have as much money from oil and gas state severance taxes, but they're predicting that next year they will have more money. So for whatever reason, people cut back last year in their drilling, but they anticipate that they will drill more this year so that there will be more funds available. So,
question. As far as using the design team from CU, just for my own knowledge, did Douglas County avail them of those services or not?
No.
When they did their library?
No.
How did they have somebody that, I mean, where did they come up with their
design? If you visit other Douglas County libraries, they're very similar, and a lot of the structural pieces within the library are the same. Douglas County Libraries used an architecture firm that I don't have the name off the top of my head. The architect contacted me, 6-8 months ago, and said that, you know, he'd be happy to help us for this project. But he has a certain aesthetic that I don't think we're interested in out here. You've seen those buildings. They're very, very clean, very modern. And that is kind of, I don't think that's really what we're looking for this facility. We want it to reflect the community more and to be one of the words that we're using is like kind of a cozy coffee shop or something like that. But not like a cozy coffee shop. You know what I mean?
I don't think we want slam bam, like come in and get your book, get the hell out type attitude. I mean, we would like people to be able to come here, use the facility and actually feel like, hey, I might like to sit down and read for a little bit or see people that I'll talk to and not feel like they just have to get in and out. And that, I mean, I do a lot of things down at the Castle Rock Library for meetings and stuff. And that place is, I won't say cold, but some of the librarians do know me now, and they've asked us to bring dogs and stuff just because they asked, do we have service dogs that, you know, just to let everybody know that they're doing dog functions there at the library. And so, but for the most part, other than the kids programs and stuff, most people it's in and out the door type of deal.
Yeah. And Douglas County is completely different. You know, they were completely able to pay for their facilities with their own money. And they also have been able to do things like They were able to buy the supplies for the building in Castle Rock before they went up. So they owned all of the supplies that they needed before 2020.
Wow.
So they have 10
times the tank base we have. I mean,
exactly. Just, so it's a very different situation.
I just wondered.
Yeah. So they don't do things the cheap way.
Hmm.
So.
I think I've mentioned about the library in Arapahoe County that modeled out after the tattered cover, the old tattered cover. You might not know the old tattered cover.
Yeah, I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
The bookstore.
Yeah. The bookstore, yeah, way back.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's lovely to go in. A Barnes & Noble, like on Arapahoe. No. Is it Arapahoe? No, it's County Line. County Line Road. You go in there, you have coffee, you get your Starbucks.
Actually, they closed the coffee shop.
Oh, they did. Well, maybe we could open a coffee shop in our
library. That
would bring people in.
It's a real difficult undertaking.
I don't want to get into
all the details because it's that. I mean, I've been in different libraries that have tried it. It just doesn't always work.
But just the cozy atmosphere. I think when you mention cozy atmosphere, that type of a
welcoming
chairs, tables.
Is there some way we could get input from the public? I mean, just regular people have a mock-up of the
building. So that's exactly what we're doing with the architecture students. And they're learning how to work with the public and can bring in that information to them. So it's like big studies that they're doing.
It might be advantageous for us to just have an open house and let the people see what it's like back there. And people may have ideas on how they envision the library should look or how the meeting place should look. Perhaps, you know, pick ideas from all over the place. And then,
yeah. And that's exactly what the group from CU Denver is supposed to do. They're supposed to garner together all those ideas from the public and
do you know how they do that? I mean,
the closest I can say is, you know, just reading through what they have in the plan, because
it's a phenomenal program. My stepdaughter has received her master's in both land planning, architectural, and she did historical. Whatever. It is a phenomenal program.
So
the thing is it just a study? Are they going to just send out a survey? Are they going to have people actually?
No, she said they're going to have community.
If you look on page 4 of the scope of services, the expansion and site improvement. So, like, for example, step 4 has community meetings and presentations. You know, step 5 has additional input from the community. So step 2 is community survey. So all of those pieces are
included. And they take care of doing all that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's very inexpensive.
Well, it sounds to me like, you know, that's a group that's probably done this more than once or twice. So to my way of thinking, we should take advantage of their services and see what they come up with. Because I mean, each one of us, as we're growing up in our old age, we've had experiences with different libraries. And so I have to think in most cases, my experience with public libraries have been good. But public library at my hometown versus what Golden had, what Arvada had, and so on and so forth. Each place was much different from the last. And so things are evolving because of computers and whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot more media than a library to be a library, in my opinion, has to cover nowadays than what when I was first and second grade in my hometown in Kansas. I mean, it's a totally different thing.
So we definitely, I'm not sure that the students actually have the experience, but the advisor who guides them through the process
probably
has done this. I mean, I know they've done it multiple times. He came out, you know, we met with him for a couple hours, and then he went back and wrote the scope of services, you know, just like that. So he's using a template that he's got, you know, already. So
it's exciting. Well, I just want to say I'm very excited about working with them and seeing what these young people may have spring out of their
brains. Right. Innovative. It sounds like they're going to be very innovative and think out of the outside the box a little bit.
So it's very exciting. So employee updates, we're going to still looking for several substitutes. We lost a substitute because his family moved to New Mexico. We had to close because of the blizzards.
I have a friend that's interested.
It's posted online, and is it on? They can check on Indeed. And they should be able to see that.
Is that Indeed?
Indeed.com. It's a big, gigantic job search site. So Rick Millsaps, who is our handyman / cleaner / the guy that found us the free carpet and
miracle worker.
Yeah. So he's doing some more miracle working for us. And he found some free LED light fixtures, and they're all out in the warehouse right now. And he's going to start Saturday. He's going to start on this room and replace all of these old lights with LED lights. Awesome. And then he's just going to do this as he can do it throughout the library. We also want more lighting out here in between the shelving. So we'll have to see how that all works out, what he's able to do for us. The Artists Guild has finished the mural in the children's area over here. And if you haven't seen it, you should really go look at it. It's really fun. And the dedication of the mural is Saturday, April 5th at 3 p.m. And if any of you can come to that, we would just love to have you. Ruth Ann was here the day they finished it.
Yes.
And so she got to be the representative from the library board. They were pretty excited. So
I hope I said thank you enough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they want to do more murals for us.
Like I said.
So, yeah, that's right.
We can do right there. That works.
Yeah. I got a place for them.
And
you said April 5th?
April 5th, yeah.
Saturday. Have you planted some trees out there?
I have a dog show.
Or is that our job to do?
Part of the landscape architecture design, I asked him, because I don't know, you know, when you're in the higher elevations of Elizabeth, you have more trees. So I don't know if we are high enough and we just got all of our trees cut down, or if we are not, if trees.
It's the water.
Jeff Woods said that, you know, they're definitely drought resistant trees that we can look at that, you know, we can do here. So, my next point is just the construction has started on those buildings. I included in your packet, I don't actually have them in mine, but
I've seen the blueprint for the plat several times.
So just if you wanted to look and see what that's going to be like, and I gave you a sheet that kind of summarizes and you kind of have to squeeze, you look and you can see lot three, lot three is 0.73 acres, and it tells you how big the building is, and that is the building right here, that's building C. Mm-hmm. And then building D is going to go over there, and then B on the other side and A on the other side of D. So I just wanted to give you that again. And I've given this also to the staff at the service desk, because they're having a lot of questions about the building. So I just wanted them to be able to share that. Technology, we're going to be switching Simla to a new internet connection coming maybe even tomorrow. I don't know. We'll see. Financially, we're waiting for the last few checks to clear from the old checking account. The new account is open. We're writing checks on it. We've transferred over any direct deposits, direct withdrawals. to that new account. So we're working on that. Hopefully we will be able to close that account fairly soon. Statistics, you should have a packet or this in your packet. And you can take a look at the white columns are 2025 for January and February. And the gray columns are last year. So the first section is the circulation, how many books are checking out. And then you've got the new cardholders, the total cardholders from the end of the year, last year, our door counts, programming, the number of programs we're doing, and the program attendance. So you'll notice that the circulation is down a little bit. And circulation from 2023 to 2024 was also down a little bit as well. But if you compare our programming both this year and last year, we're really hitting it out of the ballpark, bringing people in the library for programming. So, and that's really, you know, that's one of the things that I definitely want to do to connect the community to the library. So, any questions about the statistics? Okay. The foundation meeting is coming up also on Saturday, April 5th for Merle and Alessandra. And that's at 10 a.m. And I'm going to do, I have two training sessions that I'm going to show, one on fundraising and one on how to get grants. So that'll be an interesting meeting. I emailed you about the IMLS funding. So I have given you a few more handouts in your packet. There's a letter here that was put together from the Association for Rural and Small Libraries, the Public Library Association, and the Urban Libraries mm-hmm. Council, just expressing their support for the IMLS. And then there are two. There's a letter that the board of the IMLS wrote to the new chairperson of the IMLS, saying, you know, we want to make sure that you keep the statutory things that you're supposed to keep. And then there's a handout that talks about what we get from the state library. Can I borrow that? So I don't.
Here's the letter.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, that one I don't have.
Seen. I'll read right here. Yeah.
So this handout kind of tells you the nuts and bolts. So the state library really doesn't exist without federal funding, and they get $3.2 million in federal funding, and this just tells you how they use it. So I mean, we've already taken advantage of some of that. Because when we went to the Colorado Association of Libraries conference, the people that did some of the training there were state library employees, and their salaries are paid by this federal funding. The federal funding also covers the Colorado Talking Book Library. It covers prison libraries, it provides this interlibrary loan structure, historic Colorado newsletters. It's a database, newspapers, pardon me. And then there's this, what they call the Colorado Library Card. It's a cooperative agreement throughout Colorado so that you can go to any library in Colorado, show them your library card here and your driver's license, and they'll give you a library card. So that doesn't happen in every state. But it does in Colorado through the work of the state library. So, you know, we certainly hope. I mean, there's two pieces of funding that go to the IMLS, and that's the Institute of Museum and Library Services, and President Trump's executive order. wiped out the non-statutory portion of that, but theoretically he can't take away the part that's governed by law. That's but that hasn't necessarily stopped him in other situations. So so just want to let you know, I mean, this really makes a difference to us, the help that we get from the state library. The Cal conference, their registration is already open for that. It's back in Breckenridge again, and it's September 3rd through 5th. The early bird registration is now through July 15th. So if you guys are interested and want to commit now, we can.
Hey, I'd like to go.
Okay. Okay. So we can do. We can do. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You and I went last year.
I know. Okay. We went.
We had a good time.
We had a good time.
Okay. So Lisa and Sandy.
What? Lisa did a good time.
Okay. So
we've done our duty. Thank you. Yes.
There is.
And we want to share the wealth.
Yeah. Yes, we want to share the experience. Okay.
There's a trustee track on the 4th. So we have only on Thursday, September 4th. We only went for one day. And I thought it was quite good.
It was very, very good. Seriously. And a very nice lunch. Yeah. It was a nice day.
Yeah.
It was just a long day.
It was a very long day.
So it's the 3rd through the 5th, but we only go for one day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we just did.
And that day is what?
The fourth. Thursday, September 4th. Yeah, we met very early that morning and drove up to the mountain, and then did we have breakfast up there? Oh yeah, we did.
Yes,
they had the fruit stuff out. Yeah.
They had everything.
Yeah, and then we didn't leave.
We left our vehicles in the parking lot.
Yeah, but I'm thinking we didn't stay for their cocktail.
No, they went reception. Yeah.
We left so we could get down, and then we got in bumper to bumper traffic coming home.
So make sure you get sustenance before you start driving home.
Yeah, because it's a long drive home.
So who drove? I hate driving in the mountains.
Yeah, I drove.
Susan did. Yeah. She was awesome.
I'm
terrified of the mountains.
Yeah. I believe in engine braking, not in foot braking. So yeah.
It was awesome. You did a great job.
So I'll sign you guys up, and me as well, so that the three of us can go up together. And it helps me because then I hear what you're hearing, and I can come back and, you know, we can all share it. So and then I wanted to also let you know about the all staff meeting. That is coming up on Thursday, May 1st. And we'd like to invite you to come and have lunch with us. And a couple people did last year, right? Who came last year? Oh, yeah.
I think I came.
Yeah.
I can't make
it. I did not.
This year, unfortunately.
Okay.
It was a good feed.
Yeah. We always have good. We have good food. And it's just an opportunity for you to meet.
Yeah, it was very nice.
Meet the staff. And they enjoy that. And then there was something that I forgot to put on the agenda that Matt, thank goodness, reminded me about today. And The paperweight that we wanted to get for Alan.
Nope.
Pardon me. Robert. Alan's right here.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard day. But anyway, we have four different options if you'd like to pass them around. And then if you have one that's your favorite, why don't you just write your name on it?
Oh.
There's a book, a triangle, an obelisk, and an arrowhead. So I'm just going to pass them around. You guys,
I don't know him, so I don't know.
Just choose whatever.
Oh, it's a book of knowledge. Okay.
Yeah. So we're just going to, it's like a crystal thing, and we'll just write something nice on
it.
He's like, he's a photographer.
And a former teacher.
And a former teacher and principal.
He writes poetry.
And he also, I consider him and Gay, they're like Renaissance people. Because their house, it's like they went and they designed and built their whole thing, and it's just like, wow.
And it's their design is innovative.
Yes.
I mean, it's not the standard run of your mill.
So that's all I have for my report. Sorry, I was so wordy.
That's okay. You did good.
I covered a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
We're waiting on you to move us along.
Okay, all right. So study session, set topic for next study session.
So I've kind of run out of topics.
This is my, can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
I see no point in us having study sessions until we get further along with our main project that we started to have these for. That's just my opinion.
Okay. Okay. That sounds good. The only thing I could come up with would be we could have a study session about the audit.
No.
I don't know the timing, whether the students are going to be coming out sometime, but I didn't know if we could do the timing so that you guys could have an opportunity to meet with them.
Yes.
And that would be good.
That would be good.
Okay. And maybe okay. We just do it whatever day they're coming versus doing it our study session day.
Okay.
We have that fundraising thing on Saturday. Perhaps something will come up then. Somebody will come up with an idea about doing something. Perhaps we should, if that happens, then maybe we can talk about that. I have no idea what to expect on Saturday, but.
Yeah. So we can, okay, well, I'll work with Jeff, because he's going to tell me they're on spring break this week. He'll tell me when they can come out next time. So I'll see if we can do that. Okay.
The children's mural dedication. Has everybody seen the mural?
I have. I think it's darling.
It's mm-hmm. just delightful, yes.
So, but yeah, definitely encourage you to attend that if you can.
Yes, yeah, that's a bit of disappointing. It's like,
hopefully we'll be done with the.
Yes, we're hoping that we can sniggle in there because Lisa and I are booked for a Bloodhound event.
A Bloodhound fundraising.
Cool. Yes.
What day is that?
That's April 5th.
I will be at Adams County Fairgrounds at their dog show.
Yeah, Terry Oll's that weekend.
Are one of our varmints, and I'm a babysitter for moral support for my wife.
As it should be.
Sometimes she needs a lot.
Okay, I guess no public comment. Okay, do we have any other items business from a board member?
No.
Well, I've got something, and I talked to Sarah about this, but didn't follow through. There's a program that people bring trained dogs to the library, and children read to them. I don't know if you're interested in something like that. I can probably hook you up with someone that does that.
So actually, Lisa is involved with that as well. And so
I've been a person that has done a reading program, and it's READ, Reading Assistance Education Dog, right? And it's great. They carry their own insurance, everything.
The person that raises Samoyeds, and she has these Samoyed dogs, and she's training them. I don't know the extent to which this particular dog is trained at this point. There's also another woman in Boulder who does this.
They have to be really, really well.
They have to be trained.
And then the reading assistance program covers their insurance and all of that, their liability and all of that, just in case.
Bring my Yorkie. I haven't brought a Yorkie in quite a while because the new boy, we've only had him a few times with kids, and he does well, but mostly he sits around and with him, I don't let the kids hold him like they did Gambler. Gambler, one little girl, he must have sat on her lap for 10 minutes, and she didn't want to share with any other kid. He was perfectly happy sitting on her lap. And because she was feeding him treats every once in a while, it was funny. Her mom finally had to almost take the dog out of her lap and pass it on to the next kid.
Yeah, so it's and I know it's a lot of the therapy dog organizations test the dogs for Reed.
Oh, is it Denise Norby with the Samoyed? Because she's got a therapy.
Which where does she live, in Saddlewood?
No, she lives down by Fountain, over by Florissant.
I know there's someone that's doing it in, I think, Pueblo or one of those places down there.
Yes, that's probably hers. That's probably hers because she's a.
What's her name, Denise?
Denise Norby.
Denise is the one that's friends with.
Right, she's my treasurer for one of my kennel clubs. Yeah, plus she's a judge.
Well, yes, but she knows other people that are close by. You know, if you're interested, I can hook you up with whoever.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not my area of expertise by any means, but
Intermountain Therapy Animals is another one that they actually like certify them to be able to.
Well, Barbara Weiss does therapy dog testing.
Barbara Weiss does, yeah.
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 Oh, okay.
Cool. I love it. It's such a great program.
It is.
It's like, it brings kids out. If they aren't good readers or they're hesitant to read out loud, dogs are non-judgmental.
Listeners. So what happens? They all sit around the dog and the dog just kind of...
They can. But a lot of times it's one-on-one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We used to go to the Lutheran Church School on Parker Road, and they would bring kids out of the class that were having difficulty, but it was a cool thing.
Yeah.
Because they got to go hang out with the dog. It wasn't like, they're going to go practice reading because they're not a very good reader. It was, wow, they get to go hang out with the dog. I mean, it touched my heart. I've got notes still that my dog Blue got from the kids. It's a wonderful program. But I would definitely make sure that they're covered
certified.
Because insurance.
Liability.
It's easy to get that, you know.
Now, I don't know the details. I just know that this woman contacted me because Kathleen told her, you know, that there might be something the library like to do. So it would be something they should have to work out through them.
Okay. That's definitely something we've been looking at. Nat just reminded me, do we have somebody going to next month's Board of County Commissioner meetings?
That we had a schedule that we put together.
I think I ended the schedule, so I don't know if we want to.
If all of you folks have been there, it's probably my turn next for next month.
But I really don't want to go. Oh. So you can go, Alan, if you like it.
I'll go for.
Morel's been listening to my tales of.
Yes, I hear about
hours.
At 9 o'clock in the morning is like a real chore for me, but I can do it if I have
to. I'll go next.
I've never been either, and I'm happy to go. I'd love to take my husband, but I'm not sure that I
could.
No.
Keep him home for a while.
Will you want to go with me just to see what's going on for next month? Next month?
I know. I get 2 hours. I got two-hour ones.
I'll find out what the schedule is for next month, and then I'll put it on my...
It's like the second and fourth Wednesday.
Right.
Wednesdays
at 9 a.m. I put together a schedule,
and
I don't remember how many meetings ago it was passed out. But if Alessandra's got it, that'd be wonderful.
And then you have to report back. So this is good because Alan's a better reporter. I can just yell in that he's a better than I am.
Well, I mean, it'll be good. It'll be a good introduction because they've heard about you because I told them about you.
And the 23rd.
So,
thank you. 23rd.
The 9th, and we'll go both of those.
Yes.
If you have a schedule.
9 o'clock.
And then
I know most all of the county commissioners because I can't hide nowhere. So
and where is it?
It's at the county courthouse in Kiowa.
The old big red.
It's like the second.
It's on the second floor.
Yeah, I think so.
I've got the 2 hour ones. It's interesting stuff.
Actually, the first one that you went to, she called me and she was just like. She was all excited about everything that happened.
I was like, we were talking about noxious weeds.
Well, and then yesterday I talked to you and it was like,
well, that was this morning. Yesterday it's like, this morning I went to the
first one.
What was that? I talked to you mid afternoon. Yeah, sorry, I'm out of it.
Got done in about less than 2 hours. I mean, it was about an hour and 45 minutes, and they passed the county budget in 30 minutes. I couldn't believe. I was thinking, shoot, library board, we spent more time than that.
Probably at home. If you want, I'll call.
I think it's the 9th and the 23rd of April.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And so the 23rd is the day of our next board meeting too. So you'll be at a meeting in the morning and then in the
so day. It's actually the same time as these sessions and our meetings here.
I think so.
In the morning. So I think it's consistent. I was putting out all the study sessions here.
So that's Alan and Lisa for April.
Alan and Lisa for April.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I'll see if I can I'll just let you know about the study session if I can schedule that with the students.
Yeah, and whenever that one does, it does not have to be a Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah,
we'll accommodate when they're going to come.
So we're not going to do it the 9th then?
No. No. It'll be if they're available that day, we'll do it that day, but otherwise.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping maybe it'll be in the afternoon. Early.
I'm having trouble signing into my account again.
Should we just adjourn the meeting before they start?
And we can, because we've got trustee training afterwards too.
Ooh.
Okay.
It's that short little.
So our little 15-minute video.
Yeah.
Okay. If that.
So do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I make a motion that we adjourn the meeting.
I'll second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.